Attention, denizens of Florida. Broadcasting from Carbondale and Southern Illinois' premier comic shop. And now your host, superlative shaman of comic book knowledge, Dan Brown. Flash the mat signal in case of emergency for your host with the most on his mind, Matt Morton. Watch out, criminals. There's nothing funny to him about truth, justice, and the American way. It's Commander Harris himself, Scott Reed. And tuning in from the far reaches of no man's land, the mad scientist dream leader, Mike Ho. This is Campus Comics Cast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Campus Comics Cast. This is Dan Brown, and I'm joined this time by
Scott Reed
and Mike Atchison.
This is our monthly walk through the previews catalog. This is the August catalog for a product that will start shipping in October of 2020. We're going to look through the DC catalog first online, because that's the only way you can read it now, of course. And then we'll go through the Marvel catalog in the big book. Just let everybody know, you know, the store's open. Campus Comics at 816 East Main Street, Suite B in Carbondale. You can come by. You know, we just ask, you know, in accordance with, you know, regulations right now and everything, just wear a mask and try to be conscious of social distancing and everything when you're there. But we're open Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 6, our normal hours. So come by, pick up your books, you know, check some stuff out. We've got a lot of posters now. We started carrying. Mike's got a nice display with Blacklight posters going down the hallway now. Come check that out. Get something hang up in your room. Make it look nice.
Has he gotten his second shipment of posters in yet? I know he had a second big shipment coming.
I think so. He's got quite a few in there now, so I believe he has. If not, they'll be coming soon.
All right, good deal.
Can I tell you my favorite out of that batch?
What's that?
The Tombstone movie poster.
Let's all describe a poster we really like on this podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Nobody can know what we're talking about.
Hey, we talked about the Ron Swanson Pyramid of Greatness last episode. Oh,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, that's how you got to come to the store, check them out, see what
exactly.
We're talking about.
And put in your pre-orders for these books that we're talking about this podcast in the catalog. So.
Yeah. All right, so we got to start with DC then.
Start with DC.
Flip over here to my DC Connect online, because we're living in the future, apparently.
Now, I can't remember. The first issue of this, Previews actually had it on their website. I can't remember. Did Previews have it on their website for the second issue? Do you remember?
I'm not even going there for them anymore. I'm just searching for the actual DC Connect catalog. I'm not even messing with Diamond with this anymore. Okay. I don't know why they would at this point.
Right. I just was wondering. I didn't see it, but I was just wondering if I couldn't remember. So.
Yeah. So kind of the big thing here at the front is we've got Batman 100 kind of wrapping up, or not wrapping up, but sort of the conclusion of the Joker War story. I think there's going to be a bunch of aftermath issues. Looks like starting with Batman 101 and going through the other sort of Batman family books.
So of course, the big news for 101 though is Grifter's back.
So we were a few issues in, you know, have been published so far of the Joker War story. I'm really liking it right now. Again, we're not too far into it, but I'm enjoying it.
So am I.
Yeah.
I've only read 95, the first issue of it. I mean, I read all of the preamble. There was two or three issues that were leading into it, and those were good. But 95 was really good as well. So as much as I sort of take a grain of salt with any of these big crossover or big promoted story arcs, this one is living up to the hype, I think.
And in here we have a little teaser image for something called Endless Winter, December 2020, just a sort of frozen-looking image. So I assume this will be the next big crossover. This is probably right around the time Death Metal will be wrapping up. You know, it looks like they'll be starting up something else.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, well, Detective, 1027 is supposed to be when the next crossover starts. I thought I saw that announced someplace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do want to jump back to page 12 of that catalog. So Catwoman 26, We get a new villain, Father Valley. So, So just as an FYI, Ram V, I don't know when he started, on this series. But you do have a Joel Jones cover, for issue, 26 of that series.
Scott, I think you're, what you said, I think two episodes ago about they're making quite the effort to, highlight the new characters, especially mm-hmm. these new villains. And now that you've said it, I know I've picked out at least three or four in this DC previews.
Yeah.
One of them is in that Detective Comics on page 10, Detective Comics 1029, a new villain called Mirror. And he reminds me of Looking Glass on Watchmen.
He does. I don't know that that's a new villain. Gail Simone created a villain called the Mirror back in Batgirl. So I don't know if this is that character, that villain, or if this is if this actually is. So my guess is that this is a previously existing character.
I could have swore I read where they said this was a new villain, but maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
But there is already a DC villain named the Mirror, so.
Here. Yeah, it says right here on page 9, it says a chilling tale of murder in Gotham City featuring the debut of a new villain known as the Mirror.
Oh.
That's on Detective Comics 1028.
Okay.
On page 9. Yeah.
Huh. Well, so they're just reusing that character name then. Of course, you know, DC's they've never done that before.
Right.
So.
I got to make a note about that.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of Batgirl, just to point out too, issue 50 here is the last issue. So probably be a year or two before we get another Batgirl series going, but I'm sure there'll be something.
I added some notes to my online notes, my printed out copy. I haven't updated that. So, where was I at? I guess the next thing is on page 15. We got Rorschach number one.
Yeah, Black Lives from Tom King.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be good to see if Tom King can deliver to the Watchmen universe. I kind of dig the is it Jay Lee or Jai Lee?
I've always pronounced it Jay, and that's the way I've heard it pronounced.
I think it's Jay.
Okay, all right. I just whenever a name gets spelled differently, I always just wonder if it's supposed to be pronounced differently or not. So I kind of like the Jay Lee cover for that, with the Rorschach, how he is and how he sees himself, kind of image in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, I guess, does anybody want to speculate how we get Rorschach in 2020?
I'll read it. I'll find out.
You don't want to guess in advance?
No.
All right. Okay, here's my guess. I got a guess. So my guess for this is that whatever Dr. Manhattan quote unquote killed him, he just didn't kill him, actually just sent him to the future.
Yeah.
So that'd be the easy out for him to do that. Right. So but who knows? So my next thing's on page 40. So
okay, well, after that we've got Batman White Knight presents Harley Quinn number one. So this is a new mini series in the White Knight universe. And I think the story's by Sean Murphy, but yeah, it looks like Katana Collins is writing it with Mateo Scalera doing the art. So again, I've really enjoyed all the White Knight stuff. I'll be picking this up. Let's see. After that, we've got DC, The Doomed and the Damned, number one, and The Legend of Swamp Thing, Halloween Spectacular, number one. And it looks like these are the sort of seasonal Halloween specials DC does every year, which are usually pretty hit or miss. Usually some filler in there, but usually got a couple good stories. But it looks like they're doing two specials this year for some reason. And you got a bunch of death metal stuff I don't care about.
Yeah. Well, on page 40, you got Action Comics 1026. Again, new villain. I guess this is Uber Parasite instead of just Parasite. When I glanced at this, I just assumed it was an upgrade for Parasite, but I guess they're calling this a new villain. So Uber Parasite and Action Comics 1026.
Maybe Parasite will be DC's Venom. and they could just start spinning off all these other villains from him.
I wanted to jump back to page 31 with Deceased Dead Planet, issue number 4. It's getting a lot of critical acclaim. I know we've talked about it before, but I just want to bring it up again as it's one of the comics I look forward to now every month.
Yeah, I'm reading all the Deceased stuff. It's all been really strong. On page 37, we've got the Wonder Woman 1984 special. This was supposed to originally be one of the Giants that got canceled. And so it looks like now it's just a 32-page one-shot. So I assume it's the new, you know, content that was supposed to be in that Giant. They're just producing like this now. It's just a one-shot. And I would assume the idea is to have it out around the same time as the movie. Who knows when the movie's coming out?
No kidding.
I'm not even paying attention to what they're announcing now for release dates for films. Mm-hmm. We'll see it when we see it, I guess. But again, I'll probably check that out because I think it's Louise Simonson is one of the writers on there, so, and it's got a really nice Nicholas Scott cover, so I'll pick that up. A couple of pages after that, we've got Archimaniacs trade paperback by Art Baltazar and Franco of Tiny Titans and Superman Family. It looks like just like a sort of kid-based, Batman story.
Missed that somehow, and I went through that catalog twice, and I don't remember seeing that page either time I went through it.
Yeah, what page is that on?
39, I think.
39, yep, 39.
Okay, but let me say something about on page 34 before we go any farther about Strange Adventures. I've only read the first two issues, and I read one, and it was quite a while because of the pandemic before I could read issue two. And then whenever issue two came out, I thought, okay, good opportunity to reread one. I did. Read number two. It's fantastic. And now I think I'm just going to read, as they come out, I'm going to read all the comic that comes out and all of them that came before it, just because it's that good. And, I have mixed feelings about the Mr. Miracle series that Tom King did, but this is looking really good.
Cool. Yeah, I got the first one, and everything happened. And I haven't gotten any of the issues since. I need to track them down.
I got the first three and haven't read any of them yet, so...
That might be something we go over on a future episode once it's all out.
Could be your first six or something like that. So,
the
next thing's on 44. So,
okay, go ahead.
All right, so page 44, we've got Batman Beyond issue 48, and apparently this is the first time that Batman Beyond is going to actually meet Batman in costume. So, or at least in the DC universe proper. So here's your first crossover between those two characters.
Yeah, I even read an article about that or something. I completely blanked on that. On 48, we've got Batman: The Adventures Continue number 5, and we're actually getting Red Hood on the cover here. So hopefully they're kind of doing more with that part of the story that we've been talking about on here.
Back up to 47 real quick. Batman: The Outsiders, final issue of that series. So series finale there.
There's two or three this month previews that are
Batgirl, Batman the Outsiders, and then Justice League Odyssey is wrapping up at issue 25. And of course there's some mini series that are wrapping up as well. So
you guys have anything before 67?
No, just mentioned we'll cover episodes parts 9 and 10, which will be in this issue here in a future podcast.
Okay.
I've got some on page 64 just to mention of Suicide Squad number 10. Once again, it's one of the best series out there right now, and it's bringing back one of my favorite characters. We're not sure exactly what his role is going to be yet. At least I don't know, but it's Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. I'm just excited reading this every month.
Yeah, another good Tom Taylor book. On 67, we've got the Wonder Woman number 1 from 1987 facsimile edition. And so this is the George Perez version. I've been getting the facsimile editions. I'm looking forward to this one just because I prefer reprints of George Perez's work. I feel like the printing standards and the newspaper print they were using back in the 80s, you lost detail. I don't think you got to see everything he was putting on the page. this is a case where I feel like the modern, you know, printing processes really bright, you know, make the art stand out better. You can see the detail better now than you could back then. So this is one I'll definitely be picking up. A couple of pages after that, we've got the Daphne Byrne hardcover. This is the collection. This is the miniseries by Lara Marx and Kelly Jones. As part of the Hill House line. I really enjoyed this book. It's worth picking up.
73 is my next thing, so...
I think go ahead. I don't think I have anything before then.
Well, we're getting the Three Jokers hardcover.
All right.
So that's going to be coming out. It's let's see, what's the actual release date on that? November 10th is the actual release date, but they're getting the... Was it the three-issue series?
Yeah.
By Jeff Johns and Jason Fabick. I haven't actually read any of these issues yet. I don't know. Has anybody been reading it?
They're not out yet.
Oh, is the first issue not out yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no.
Okay. All right. So I thought it maybe the first issue had been out. So
is that unusual that they'd come out or solicit the hardcover this early?
It seems like they're soliciting the hardcovers a lot more quickly. And this may just be because they probably have had this ready for a long time. And so they probably just able to get it out a whole lot more quickly.
Yeah, and I think they want to get that going while the hype's still going for it, and it's still kind of in everybody's memory.
Mm-hmm.
On 74. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, so we get Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusaders. This is Neil Gaiman doing his take on Batman, and I just was curious if you guys have read this story originally and how it compares to the next one, which is Superman, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, by Alan Moore. Is it even close?
No, I read it when it came out. It's a decent story. It's not on par with Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, which is just like, you know, a classic Superman story. The Neil Gaiman stuff, it's good, but I'm like, it's not amazing.
Okay, I was just curious.
I wouldn't say that's Neil Gaiman's best work, and I don't think it's on anyone's top 10 Batman list either, you know. So it's worth reading, but...
And then on that hardcover for the Superman, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, on page 74, you also get a couple of additional Alan Moore Superman stories. Superman Annual, DC Comics Presents 85 and Superman Annual 11 are also included in that hardcover treatment. So it's actually four stories or four issues in that book. So
that's definitely worth picking up. There's because that Superman Annual 11 is for the man who has everything, where, you know, Batman or Superman is subjected to the Black Mercy by Mongol. You know what? Going back to the Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, I saw there are some extra stories in there, too, it looks like.
Yes, there are.
So Secret Origin Special number 1 and Black and White number 2. I know those are Neil Gaiman Batman stories. The Secret Origin story was good. I'm thinking that was it might have been the Riddler origin. I'd have to double check that though and see. But yeah, those are some other good stories. So if you're just like a Neil Gaiman completist, pick that up. Because again, it's not like he's written a lot of Batman either.
No, uh-uh. So
on 75, we've got the Flash Year 1. And I think, you know, we kind of talked about this back when the story was coming out, but, you know, it's Josh Williamson and Howard Porter, and it's a really good Flash story in there. Kind of continuing on through the collections here. On 80, we've got Legends of the Dark Knight, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez hardcover. Again, this is collecting a bunch of his Batman stories he's done over the years. You know, there's stuff from the 70s on here till, you know, the aughts and different things. So, again, this is another one that's probably going to look really good reprinted now with current printing technology. And his artwork holds up. Like, I've got books of his from the 80s that look like they could be, you know, except for maybe like the fashion or something. It's like, this could be published now. The, you know, quality of his art's that strong that it still holds up. I think
I'm done in DC.
We've got the Underworld Unleashed 25th anniversary trade. Again, a decent story. I think it'd been 25 years since that, but again, just showing how old I'm getting. The interesting thing with that was they used that fifth green ink color on that, as opposed to just the CMYK, the four that, you know, books are printed in. And so I wonder if they're going to go back and do that again for this trade, because that was a big selling point. That was a big deal of that book back when it came out. something they were using to hype it up. And then, you know, we've got the, they're re-releasing the Todd McFarlane Batman Black and White statue. They're saying it's the 2.0 version. And it, they said it's slightly different. I haven't seen a comparison, really, so I'm not sure exactly what all the differences are. But, you know, if you missed it the first time around, looks like you can get that one.
New base for it.
Yeah. And then we've got the figures coming out for the Batman Adventures Continue from, you know, the comic book where we've got Batman in sort of the Dark Knight Returns armor. And then we've got Deathstroke, you know, which has been a big part of the story in there. And then the, you know, we've got the Frank Miller Armored Batman, Black Batman Black and White statue coming out. And I think that's it for me on the DC.
Mike, you got anything else on DC?
I just want to say on the right before you mentioned the Batman by Todd McFarlane Batman Black and White statue, the Why the Last Man compendium number one trade paperback. Just as a reminder that it's going to be a television series. I'm not sure how much of that they actually got filmed, but that's what I'm most excited for. I love that series, and I'm I've loved that as a comic series by Brian K. Vaughan, and I'm interested and excited about it coming out on TV as a series.
Ready for Marvel?
I think so. Yeah, I never read Why the Last Man, but I'll tell everybody I did. They'll believe me.
I'm in trade. I haven't finished it yet. I'm multiple trades in. I haven't been able to track down like the matching trade paperbacks, so that way they'll all be the same on the on the shelf, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. Same way with Sandman. I haven't read all of Sandman yet because I don't have all the trades to, you know, match them up. So my first thing in Marvel is not till page 24. Cause there's just a lot of X-Men and.
Yeah, a lot of X swords.
Yeah.
Mine's on page 20. So we've got Spider-Woman number 5, and I just thought it's interesting to point out that this is the, you know, this is the 100th issue of Spider-Woman, and they're not renumbering it apparently, or maybe they're just going to do the double on the cover, but they're soliciting.
Which I'm fine with. They should do that on all of them.
But they are soliciting it as Spider-Woman number 5, so they didn't start a new series, and then after issue 4, change the numbering. So I'll give them that. Right after that, we've got Spider-Man number 5. This is the J.J. Abrams and his son book. And it just seems like this book has petered out. There was so much hype about this when it came out. And I think people felt misled by, you know, what the actual content was when it came out. Which, again, is Abrams does that, you know, with his movies. But probably doesn't work as well in the comics book world.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, page 24, we've got Warhammer 40K Marnius Caligar. It's a 5-issue series. Kieran Gillen writing this. There have been some Warhammer 40K comics in the past, but I think this is the first time that Marvel has had this license. So it's the first time we're going to see Warhammer from one of the bigger publishers. So if you're a Warhammer fan, something to take to consider.
You guys have anything before 30?
No.
Yeah, so page 30, we've got Iron Man number 2. It's this new series. Looks like they're bringing Korvac into this. I feel like I'm seeing stuff about the Korvac saga and different things kind of being reprinted and kind of creeping up. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, you know, we're going to get something with Korvac and a film or something maybe coming up. Or
there's been a rumor about that for a while. His first appearance was in like some giant size, I don't know, giant size Defenders or giant size something. And that book, like, kind of jumped big time in value. Gosh, it's been almost a year now that book saw a big jump in value. So there have been rumors about Korvac for a little while now.
So, but again, just bringing him in here into Iron Man, I feel like this might be setting up something for a film or who knows what. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah,
I can't imagine it's coincidence that after all these years, they're kind of doing more with Korvac now. So again, might be something to check out.
Page 32, Fantastic Four 25, still being written by Dan Slott. We're getting new costumes, I don't know, new attitude, and a new villain, the Helmsman. So if you're following new villains, there's another one to pick up in issue 25 of FF.
Dan Slott's run on Fantastic Four has been great. Now, what is it? Page 36, we've got the True Believers. It's all Black Widow. I feel like we had some of these solicited before.
Yeah, there's definitely some re-solicits here. Yeah,
there's some shuffling around here, but again, I think most of these tie into the Black Widow movie in some way. You know, we've got first Red Guardian and, you know, Taskmaster and
Taskmaster's Avengers 196, Red Guardian's Avengers 43, Tales of Suspense 52 for the first Black Widow, and then that amazing Spider-Man 86, that's where she gets her, what I consider her modern costume, that whole black bodysuit costume like she has there on that Marvel fanfare cover.
And then that's the last thing I've got for a while in here, I think, till the collections. So
43, we got Shang-Chi number 2. And they're actually, this is like the first of these new villains that I think is actually an interesting one. So we're getting Sister Hammer, first appearance here.
For a second there from this cover, I thought she had a hand on the end of her leg.
Oh,
just looking real quick from the way they're kind of positioned there where they're fighting, but that's his hand.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is definitely a character that I think is there could be some interest there for that character. So, and I wish that series, if Marvel were smart, they would do more than the 5-issue series just to kind of keep some momentum going until that movie is able to hit. But who knows?
Oh, another thing to bring up too is this one has one of the timeless Alex Ross variants.
Mm-hmm.
These are a bunch of portraits he did of the Marvel characters that are on the office walls of Marvel now. Mm-hmm. There's like a video on YouTube where he's talking about working on that piece. It's kind of interesting. And so they're doing variant covers of a bunch of them now.
Yeah, have you seen that? I mean, you looked at that YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
My next thing's not till 75.
Okay. Mine is what? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So 75, we're getting the hardcover version for Ed Brubaker's run on Captain America. So you got some Steve Epting art.
And you are paying for that hardcover.
Yeah, big time. So $100, but it's what, 25 issues?
Yeah, so 744 pages, so yeah. So, there's a couple other books in there too, it looks like, so yeah.
Yeah, first Winter Soldier, I think that's the series that issue 25 is the death of Captain America, so I may be on the wrong volume for that, because how many Cap 25s have there been? But probably the big thing in there, the big storyline there is, you know, the return of Bucky and the Winter Soldier, so, and it's good, it's really good.
Yeah. And a story that, you know, could have been terrible, you know what I mean, bringing back Bucky. It's like, that was just hands-off for so long.
Mm-hmm.
No, but yeah, and Brubaker handled that really well. That was kind of like the only way to do it, I think.
He's kind of one of those, I feel like he's one of those underrated writers. I mean, he had a really good run on Daredevil. That was a really good run on Captain America. So you don't hear people talk about him as much as some of these other writers. So
he had a really good run on Batman, but it was interrupted by a lot of crossovers and things. And so I think that kind of hurt his run. But like, if you read those stories, they're good. They still hold up. On page 78, you know, into the collections here, we've got Conan the Barbarian by Aaron and Ezra, hardcover. Again, we talked about the first issue on here back when that came out, but that, you know, those 12 issues are of Aaron's run, really solid, good Conan story in there.
I've only read the first 6 of those. I don't know if I've read 7 through 12 yet. Though.
You should read 7 through 12 because they're all really solid. And I don't know, but I'm wondering if this reprints the couple-page, you know, novel story that was in the back of the issues. Yeah. I don't see it here in the solicit, but I wonder if they'll throw that in there. Sort of a short story they had in the back of the issues.
Lots of Empire trades.
My last thing's on 108.
Posters?
No, not posters.
Oh, okay.
Oz, the complete collection, Road 2 in Emerald City, and this is the Eric Schanauer and Scott Young miniseries that they were doing a few years ago. These were all really good, and this collects the two miniseries, Road to Oz and Emerald City of Oz. So, yeah, it's worth checking out. And, again, it's a book you can give to a younger reader, too. You know, adults can read it, too. It still holds up pretty well.
Big book. Unless, Mike, you got anything else in Marvel?
Nope.
Nope. All right. Quick and to the point.
So, yeah, kind of a weird thing going on here with the cover of the big book that keeps throwing me off is we've got the action figures of the book size and the Fantastic Four 25 cover on the merchandise side.
Do you think that's because this was probably supposed to have been a DC cover this month?
Who knows?
I bet that's why.
Might be.
Yeah, because if you look on page 24, when they talk about these, well, of course, I don't know, they talk about these scheduled October covers, because they usually, it's like Marvel DC Indie, Marvel DC Indie. So for the October, they've got Dark Horse and another great publisher instead of saying who's on the cover.
I feel like somebody just screwed up the covers.
It could be.
But again, on page 24, we do list the due date for this catalog is August 18th. So if there's anything you hear us talking about, you want to order, let us know at the store before then. Especially like with Marvel stuff where they don't, you know, overprint things. Make it harder to get. My first thing is on 40. Does anybody have anything?
I was going to go ahead and mention on page 36. You've got a new number one from Rick Remender. Now, I haven't read anything from Remender that's impressed me in a while, but it is a new number one called The Scumbag, and it does give us a three-page preview of the art and the story. So if you're a Remender fan, you might want to get this on your pull list. Yeah, page 40, go.
So 40 is we've got The Walking Dead Deluxe number one. And so there, it looks like they're going to start reprinting The Walking Dead, and it's in color now. Mm-hmm. Again, I never read the book, but I feel like black and white art is meant for black and white.
Yep. You know?
So, I mean, artists make decisions based on that. I'm sure this will look fine in color. It'll just be kind of an interesting contrast. I don't know how much interest there is in this. I feel like, you know, they kind of wrapped up the book. It went for quite a while.
193 issues.
You know, the trade sell. I mean, if you're just getting into it, maybe this is an interesting way to do it. But mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know what the market is for this, but we'll find out, I guess.
I would have liked to have seen the art for the Arthur Adams cover for this Walking Dead.
Yeah,
run.
There's a lot of variants here, and I'd like to see them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure. Well, the Tony Moore one is just a redo of the first issue.
Yeah.
So.
We've got Charlie Adler, you know, who came mm-hmm. on after, and yeah, I would like to see the Art Adams one. Let's see.
Page 50 is my next thing.
Go ahead.
All right, so page 50, we get a new story arc starting for Family Tree. Jeff Lemire, so I only read the first issue of this, and basically it boils down to we're getting introduced to the family and learn that the youngest daughter has been infected with this, this random tree-like growth on her skin. Well, apparently that story has progressed quite a bit because now there actually is the tree plague has, you know, taken over the world. And they're actually doing multiple story or timelines in this book. So that apparently that book's gotten a little deep. So I might have to come back to that and take a look at it. So, and Jeff Lemire is generally a pretty solid writer. So,
I don't know. Anybody have anything before 66?
Page 50. Next. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say you mentioned only because Dan mentioned. Or maybe it was you, Scott. I forget. Ed Brubaker, that he doesn't really – you don't hear much about him. But mm-hmm. he's really – he and Sean Phillips have really yeah. taken the crime noir genre to the hilt. And the stuff I've read of them that I really liked most was their crime novels. And on page 55, you have the series called Criminal and volume 3 of their hardcover – is being solicited there. So I've read a few issues from back issue bins. I haven't really got any collected editions yet, but I do recommend this series.
Page 64, next issue of Die is coming out. I like to mention that book when it was a new issue. It actually caused me to rewatch the all three seasons of the animated Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
That hold up.
It actually, in my opinion, it holds up really, really well.
I remember watching that as a kid, but I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I still enjoyed it. So
how do you watch it, if I can ask?
Digitally.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Right. On page 64, you have Die, and page 65, you have Die, Die, Die.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, back to back.
Yeah. Well, Die was first before Die, 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 which makes doing searches on eBay for like variant covers a pain. Because I see more Die, Die, Die than I see Die. So,
So we've got the fourth issue here from Firepower from Robert Kirkman and Chris Somney. I think Scott talked about the Prelude trade a while back on here. And as we're recording this, the first two issues are out. Have you guys read those? Or
I haven't made it to the shop yet since it came out to pick up my copies. I was going to ask the exact same question. Have you guys read the first issue?
I've read them. They are solid. I'm sticking with this book. I'll definitely be picking up this fourth issue. It's a really good book. I don't know what else to say. There's kind of a cool twist at the end of the second issue, which we won't get into here, but yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Is that a book we need to talk about after a few issues are out?
I think we could.
Okay. All right. So
I don't have any IDW here. Would you guys have anything?
Firepower's on my pull list at Campus Comics. So I'm looking forward to picking it. I'm probably going to get there this week to get those picked up. So, Dark Horse, I got a few things at Dark Horse, page 78. I know this is a resolicit. We got North Mythology number one. You got Neil Gaiman and P. Craig Russell doing a story about Norse mythology. I don't see how that's can be bad. And I really kind of dig the David Mack variant cover for that one as well. So I think that's a really, really nice cover. Page 83. You got Colonel Weird, Cosmagogue, which is another story for Jeff Lemire fans of the Black Hammer universe. There's another Black Hammer story, a four-issue series coming out soon. Page 95. I just am going to mention this because we haven't mentioned this name in a while. You got the Siege Trade paperback, and this is now being listed as a Burger Books. And I don't remember seeing anything from Burger Books in a while. Yeah. So, and I'm pretty confident this was not a Burger book when it first came out, but so they're taking a page from DC and like labeling things black, how DC black label stuff, their Burger book and stuff after the fact. So
maybe.
Yeah. So my next thing's not the 106.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you can talk about it because I know you'll have something better to say about it than I will.
I don't know how much I have to say about it, but we're getting a Transformers and Back to the Future crossover. I think the fun thing about this is we are getting a new Autobot called Gigawatt that is the DeLorean time machine as a robot, apparently. And I know they are making an action figure of this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be able to pick that up. Again, I like Transformers. I like Back to the Future. I'll probably pick up the first issue of this, see where it goes.
Anytime I see these crossovers like this, I just want to say, you got your Transformers in my Back to the Future. No, you got your Back to the Future in my Transformers.
That's, you know, a lot of this lately. We had the Transformers Ghostbusters where Rodrigo was Transformer. And I think they've shown a Top Gun Transformer toy, too, where it's the plane turned into a robot with the Maverick helmet on.
Does it have the pilot who smashes into the canopy effect?
I don't think so.
113. Now you got Marvel Vault of Heroes Iron Man. Mentioned this issue for two reasons. One, there's a Michael Golden cover. However, if this is the cover, I'm not particularly impressed with the Michael Golden cover. But you're also getting a steampunk Iron Man powered suit in this issue as well. And if that is a cool design, I can definitely see people wanting to cosplay as that. So.
Yeah, I can see people picking up that first appearance too.
Of course, wait a minute. This may not be a new issue. This may be reprints because it's a trade and it's $18. So that may be something that's out there someplace else. Have to look into that. So,
you know, looking at this, I think this is the Michael Golden cover, and I think I'm going to bet that's a penciled background that they really went overboard with the sort of digital coloring on.
Or maybe
he's going digital on this or something, but I think that's it. Looking at the detail of this.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think it's up to his.
Oh, no. I consider this is not my favorite stand. Michael Golden piece for sure.
Yeah, definitely not. So. I'm heading to 178. So.
On 115, we've got the Star Wars Adventures Shadow of Vader's Castle, and so they've done these a couple Halloweens back. Now where they'll do a mini series sort of telling, you know, scary stories in the Star Wars universe. It looks like we're just getting a one shot this year. But again, these have been pretty good. And Star Wars Adventures books are the only Star Wars books I'm getting anymore. So so they've been pretty solid. I'll definitely be picking that up. On 122, we've got Lock and Key Sandman. I just thought it was interesting. You know, they're doing this crossover, and then we're getting the Sandman universe sort of banner here on the front of the book, which I thought was interesting from a book that DC, you know, isn't really putting out. It's IDW. So I thought that was interesting for fans of those books. On, like, thing. So 127, we've got the second issue of the Turtles' Last Ronin book. Again, about, you know, it's Eastman and Laird, the creators of the Turtles, coming back, working together again. About a story about the last turtle. Been a lot of speculation online as to who it will be. It sounds like the money is sort of on Michelangelo at this point, just for the sort of twist that would give the story. But we'll see when it comes out. I know a lot of people are looking forward to this. This is something I can see this being underordered, really. Yep. And so probably something to pick up. 144, going into Dynamite, we have a new zombie book tying in with the name of a company, with Dynamite. So it looks like a crossover book with some of the licenses that Dynamite has as zombies. So we've got sort of like a zombie-looking Red Sonja here on the cover, and there's like a Vampirella and different things. I guess there was some talk about Green Hornet maybe being involved in this, maybe not. I'm not sure where that is. But again, I'm not sure what all licenses Dynamite has right now that they could throw in here. So probably trying to put in everybody they can. Let's see, 182?
178. All right, so we're in Boom now. We're getting Dune House Atreides, it's a 12-issue series. Now, this is going to be an adaption of the Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson book, and I am just not a fan of Kevin J. Anderson's writing.
You don't mean that.
Yeah, but I am a fan of Dune, so I'm really, really torn on this. I remember that these later Dune books were kind of a slog to get through. So I don't know. It's like I'm glad to see somebody's picking up the Dune IP. So that way, since we got the movie coming out allegedly in December, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I know, big surprise there. So they're doing this prequel story. So it's going to, this would take place well before, or at least a little bit before the movies. I think it's like basically Duke Leto. It's a younger version of Duke Leto. So I wish they would have either chose something original or, you know, adapted the actual book. But, I don't know, if you're a Dune fan, this is the, and you want to, you know, get some comics related to Dune, this is what you got. 182. I forgot what number you said you were at, Dan.
182.
All right, you go ahead.
So this is Berserker number one. And just for reference, it is spelled B-R-Z-R-K-R. So this is his license plates, apparently. But this is the new book from Keanu Reeves and Matt Kent. And again, I'm sure this is just sort of a movie pitch sort of thing that they want to do. But again, looks like a sort of interesting story. And it, obviously, the main character is modeled after Keanu.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Well, they're leaning into that whole Keanu Reeves is immortal thing, because yeah, in this character, this character is immortal, right? So the fact that Matt Kent is quote unquote co-writing this, obviously he's probably doing 99% of the writing.
He's doing the heavy lifting, I'm sure.
Yeah, might actually make this worth considering, you know. So
again, this is another book where we have some variants listed here. I really want to see these because we have got Mark Brooks doing a cover here. And we've got Raphael Grandpa, who's doing the main cover, but he's also doing the incentive. I'm not sure if the incentive is just the same cover without the trade dress or something, or if he's doing another cover. I'd kind of like to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, you only get two of the covers. Then you get a couple of story pages with no dialogue on them. So my next thing's not for a little while. So.
Well, on 210... with X-Men, the art and making of the animated series. And so it looks like this is an art book for the 90s cartoon. So if you're a fan of that show, there's probably some cool stuff in here. I would imagine there's some pretty interesting concept art in here and sort of designs they didn't use, I would think, just because there were so many characters on that show and so many like kind of throwaway Easter egg things they did. And again, this is, you know, in the wake of Jim Lee's X-Men number one selling so well back in the early 90s. So it's like, was that, I mean, obviously that's the version they used because of the time, but, you know, was there some other versions they considered or anything like that? I would imagine that would be in the book.
Also on 210 from Abrams Comic Arts, you got another Dune. This is a graphic novel. At first, I thought this was going to be an adaption or basically a reprint of Marvel. When the movie came out, Marvel did a, I can't remember if it was two or three issue limited series that had Bill Sienkiewicz artwork in it, because I saw Bill Sienkiewicz's name attached with this. But it looks like he's just doing the cover. But so this looks like it's going to be an adaption of the book. And I don't know, I guess it's going to be, this is book one, so they're going to do multiple. Unfortunately, guess whose name is also on the cover of this one? Jay Anderson, which causes me pause. But again, you know, we've had a whole lot of Dune stuff for a while, and now I guess we're going to get barraged with it. So, yeah.
On 216 from Madhouse, we've got the Octobriana 1976. This is by Jim Rugg of Cartoonist Kayfabe. This was a Kickstarter he did, and this is supposed to be a all blacklight comic book, where it's all printed in blacklight inks. I'm not seeing that in the solicit here, so I know the Kickstarter was blacklight, and I would imagine this is the same thing. I can't imagine they did a version of this where it's not blacklight.
Well, they do emphasize you've never seen a comic book that looks like this.
That's the thing, and we haven't. There supposedly has not been a blacklight comic before this, but I don't see where they just come out and say it for some reason in the solicit. So I would, you know, I'm pretty sure it is. But it just feels weird that it's not in the advertising for the book for some reason.
That, you thought that'd be a selling point for it.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, again, if you want to know about this book, just check out the Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube channel. They've talked about it a lot on there. Check out Jim Rugg online, you know, on social media. On 232, does anybody have anything before them?
I do not.
Okay. So from Albatross, we have the Unholy Bastards versus the Future one-shot. And so this is a Goon spinoff of the Unholy Bastards kids from the Goon. I feel like this is a Goon book that people are going to overlook. It's just this sort of spinoff book about the kids. But again, it's probably going to be good. It's always fun when they're in the story. So I'll definitely be picking that up. 241, we've got Madam Satan number one shot. And I didn't even catch for a second that this was an Archie book.
Yeah.
I guess this is a Chilling Adventures of Sabrina kind of spinoff. But yeah, I just kind of flipped right through this at first and didn't realize it was Archie. Especially with that name, you wouldn't think that's an Archie book.
Real quick on 249, Avatar Press, and there's another another publisher that has an ad like this. It's like, and I thought, man, they keep showing this same ad in every single issue of previews. But this is just their announcement that they are skipping until the fourth quarter. Well, guess what? This is for the fourth quarter. They're still not saying what they got coming out yet. So,
on 260, we have DC Christmas Carols. We Wish You a Harley Christmas. So I guess this is more of an illustrated book, which features holiday songs with a DC twist. All I know is Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. That better be in this book. Or it's not worth picking up. Don't waste your money. It's not in there.
On page 259, right before that, the Flash 100 Greatest Moments hardcover. It's for $25, written by Robert Greenberger. He did a similar book. It was the Justice League's 100 Greatest Moments, and it was really good.
He's done a lot of stuff, hasn't he? Like
yeah,
that.
He was an editor in the. I mean, I don't know when he stopped being an editor for DC, but he was very prolific in the late 80s, early 90s. And this looks really good. I really like these coffee table type books. And that's on page 259. On page 265, you've got the DC Comics cover art, 350 of the greatest covers in DC's history.
We'll see about that.
What's that?
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I know. It'd be nice to compare our own opinions. And then on that same page, Marvel Greatest Comics, 100 Comics That Built a Universe hardcover by Melanie Scott. That also looks really good.
Oh, 287 is my next thing.
Okay, well, on 278, we've got the Crow Special Edition. So I guess they've done this once before, but I didn't realize this. So this is James O'Barr's original Crow storyline with new sequences and some more story in here, which I didn't realize they had done before. So I might check this out just to get sort of a, you know, definitive version of that story. Yeah, so complete with 30 pages of additional artwork. So again, that's, you know, like a whole other issue there.
Yeah.
So that could be kind of interesting, is how that plays into the story. On page 289, good, 287.
Yeah. Just real quick, because I got to talk about Dune one more time. So you got the Seven Lives of Alejandro Jodorowsky. And the only reason why I even know this name is because there is a special on Amazon where apparently before the David Lynch Dune, and this may have been in the late 70s or maybe early 80s, he actually tried to get a Dune movie made. And, you know, so there's a whole documentary about, you know, what all they were able to do with this, or in the prep or trying to get this Dune movie made. And of course, you know, with the quote from Kanye West, how can you not, you know, talk about this book?
289 from Insight, we have Bowie by Michael Howard coloring book. And so this looks like a sort of companion piece to the Bowie comic that Mike Howard did a little while ago. But again, you need a David Bowie coloring book. Here you go.
My next thing is not until 344, I think.
On 309 from Pantheon, we have Lon Chaney Speaks. And so it looks like here we have a graphic novel about the life of the actor Lon Chaney. And it's by Pat Dorian. And it's, I think in the description here, it lists it as sort of early New Yorker cartoonist style. So again, I think that might be a pretty interesting book about the life of Lon Chaney. On 314, we have a Spider-Man Maximum Venom Screen Comics Volume 1. And so it looks like what this is, it is taking stills from the actual cartoon and making a comic out of it. Again, this is something we can do now with HD, I think, and you get a pretty decent end product. Before, that stuff always, or you know, any kind of Fumetti stuff really, just looked kind of grainy and a little off compared to the sharp art you used to seeing in comic books. So again, I think this is something that, you know, should be utilized more. And we'll probably see some of that kind of going forward, but I think it's kind of interesting that we're, you know, hopefully we've gotten to the point now where we can do that and it actually looks decent when it's printed on a page. That is not from my side, I'll just say that. And I think that's everything I had on this side of the catalog.
Okay, so 344, we've got from Vault Comics, got a couple of new number ones. The first is The Devil's Red Bride, number one. And I don't know, we don't see a whole lot of comics set in feudal Japan. So this might be a cool concept. And then on page 345, you have another number one, a Giga number one. I'm really just mentioning this because you've got a Shogun Warriors homage cover variant for that first issue from Vault Comics. Yeah, that's everything I have on side one. Mike, we miss anything for you?
Sorry, I had to mute because of the dog. I don't even know what page you were on, but on page 336, you got it's a book called Mac Rayboy, Master of the Comics. Now, Mac Rayboy is known for his art on Captain Marvel Jr. in the Golden Age, and he was also very much involved in such, you know, old school characters like Bullet Man, Spy Master, Green Llama. So it's, again, one of those coffee table books that I think would be a great, it's not even a coffee table, it's a comic history book. So I think I might, I'm flagging that right here to pick up.
All right, so we're done with side one, unless you got anything else.
So going over to side two here on page 13 from Gentle Giant, we've got the Mandalorian, the Child in Chair, half-scale statue. So this is Baby Yoda from The Mandalorian sort of sitting in the chair on the Razor Crest. It's half scale, so but it says it's about 12 inches tall. And it looks like he's holding the little knob from the panel on the ship.
They said that series is going to start back up again in October or November.
Yeah, I think they were shooting the second season when season one was airing.
Okay.
I think that's a go, because I think I saw something where Jon Favreau was saying they were working on the post-production in quarantine.
Yeah. So I don't think they have an official, like, final, like, the exact date, but yeah. I thought I heard October.
Yeah, I think we're all lucking out with that, though. It seems like they were already well on their way with that, so we'll get some more Mandalorian, hopefully, on time. On page 16, we've got another Crow thing here. We've got the Crow Deluxe Action Figure from Diamond, where it looks like he comes with his coat and a guitar, and then a tombstone with the Crow sitting on it. Let's see, my next thing is on page 42. We've got a couple things.
Just real quick, I just noticed this. So page 29, you have Warhammer 40K action figures, and I don't think there's really much of a market for action figures.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too, when I saw that.
Because if you wanted to get it, you'd just get the miniatures. But what do I know?
Yeah. On 42, we've got the Conan the Barbarian Ultimates iconic movie post-Conan figure. This is the figure that Super 7's doing. There's some shots of this online, but it's a really good likeness of Arnold Schwarzenegger here and a nice kind of fully articulated action figure. So it's pretty cool. And then we've got these Jaws 3D dioramas. And one thing that they've done here is a 3D version of the movie poster where it's sort of Jaws' head coming up through the water. And we have the woman swimming at the top of the frame here, which I thought was kind of interesting. Sort of a neat idea.
That is really cool. I remember as a kid squinting really hard on that poster.
I bet you were. anybody have anything before page 64?
Nope.
Okay. So on page 64, we've got the Dark Knight Rises Dark Knight Memorial statue. And so this is the statue from the end of Dark Knight Rises, where they have a sort of memorial to Batman. And so you can get sort of a reproduction of that statue here. Again, it's on screen for seconds, but if you like that, here you go. I think page 86 in the games. We've got the Shining Escape from the Overlook Hotel Coded Chronicles game. I'm not really sure how this plays or whatever, but it looks like you are taking on the role of Wendy and Danny and sort of trying to get away from Jack in the Overlook Hotel. So I thought that's kind of a neat idea for a game.
I'm assuming that it's like an escape room game, but I don't know that for a fact. I mean, when they have escape in the name now, that kind of makes me think it's going to be an escape room game, which of course means it may only have like one playthrough.
But yeah, like I have no idea. I just thought it was kind of an interesting idea. Let's see. I think my last thing is on page 88. We've got from HeroClix, we have the Galactus Premium Colossal figure. And again, they've made a big Galactus before years ago, but this one looks pretty cool, sort of a more of an action pose with Galactus. And I think it's pretty big. I think it's got four dials on there if you play. And I think there's a way to incorporate a herald with it, too, it says. Yeah, herald dial to let another character serve as the herald of Galactus. So I thought that was kind of interesting. If I were still playing HeroClix, I would pick this up, but I'm not. It probably looks pretty cool, though. And it looks pretty detailed, too, for, HeroClix. But again, it's pretty big.
And it's $100.
Yeah, it's $100. So I don't know if it says like how tall it actually is, though. Let's see. Weird, though. But again, I would imagine, I would think it's got to be close to a foot tall.
Yeah, you would think.
That he takes up like several spaces on the board.
Well, if you've played the game, it takes up 18 spots on on a map. Yeah, so.
Oh, I think that's it for me in this catalog. You guys got anything else you want to bring up?
Just real quick, throw out the blank covers. Commanders in Crisis 1. I can't remember. That was a, was that like a Boom book? Anyway, they got a blank cover. Dune House Atreides number one has a blank cover. Berserker one has a blank. American Vampire 1976 one, which is going to be the final Scott Snyder American Vampire story, or maybe the final time he teams up with that particular artist. Batman 100's got a blank, but it's a purple blank cover. Batman White Knight presents Harley Quinn number one, and Rorschach one. Those all have blank covers. So, Mike, you got a book that you are particularly looking forward to out of this bunch?
I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad number 10 with the Blue Beetle, Ted Kord.
What about you, Dan?
I think I'm looking forward to Tom King's Rorschach. You know, I really like the Rorschach character. I think that was one of the good books that came out of Before Watchmen years ago. I'm really interested to see what Tom King does with the character. So, you know, we'll be checking that out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think Rorschach one is the book that I'm most looking forward to out of these. So, you guys got any investment picks?
Death Metal Robin King.
Really? We already got the Robin King, though. So he's already had his first appearance. So.
Yeah, I know that the Death Metal run right now is reselling pretty hot on eBay, but I thought this Robin King was a first appearance. Maybe not.
So, what about you, Dan?
I'd go with Berserker. I think if this does get made into a movie, people will be going back and snatching that up. Again, and especially if it's a decent story.
Right. That's the important part, is if it's any good. So. Right. Well, I had down two. I had the Shang-Chi number two, which has the first appearance of Sister Hammer, and with that movie and the potential for there to be a series of movies as a character that could show up there. And I also had down the steampunk Iron Man, but apparently that's something that maybe is already out, so I maybe need to track down something that's already been released. So I'm gonna have to look into that just a little bit myself. So, but there you go. So,
anybody have anything else you want to bring up?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, just again letting everybody know, August 18th is the cutoff. If you're wanting to order something out of the catalog, something you heard us talking about, you think sounds interesting, let us know by then, and we will get it for you. Again, things still aren't running as smoothly as we would hope right now, with all the upheaval in the distribution system and everything kind of going on in the world right now. So just kind of bear with us right now for a little bit while we get through this. Just let us know. You know, it's really important to let us know what you want right now. Just because things are coming in late or things are getting resolicited, our orders are getting canceled, just weird things are going on right now. It's not, you know, business as usual yet, but we'll get there. But yeah, just really, it's really important to let us know what you want right now. Just
DC's doing some silly stuff with like final order cutoffs and stuff like that. So,
and again, we're trying to stay ahead of it all, but things happen. So, and again, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about funny books. Yeah. So it's important to us, but you know, things happen.
Right.
Mike, where can everybody stalk you online?
Mike Atchison 5 on Twitter.
And what about you, Scott?
Burgcomics.com, BURGcomics.com, and of course Facebook and Instagram and eBay.
And I'm online at Detective651 on Twitter and Instagram, and on my TeePublic site. And again, I'm at the store most Saturdays. And again, you can follow Campus Comics on Facebook or Twitter, or, you know, just come by the store sometime, pick some stuff up, check out some of the posters, some of the stuff we've done to the store while we were shut down. And again, we're at 816 East Main Street in Carbondale, Suite B. You know, real easy to find now. We were able to repaint the front of the store and everything. Really, it makes it stand out from the other storefronts now, which is nice. Got rid of that ugly green color we've had for years. I'll come by and check that out. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks. We'll just put Mike's dogs at the end.
Yeah, that was... Where was that at? I didn't know how far in that was. So
Edgar's been sitting down here the whole time. He's quiet. He's a good boy.
Hey, good Edgar.
All he has, Louie's a big old chicken, and he sees something outside and he barks like a tough guy.